Good morning, everybody. This is Judith Eichel. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, we're on our fourth major incident for my mom this year. 4 months in, four major things. So, apparently, I'm guessing this happened when she fell. She hurt her wrist pretty significantly. It doesn't look broken or anything, but it's definitely swollen, and she complains about it. And my mom doesn't complain about pain, and she doesn't ever seem to remember that something's really painful, but she lets everybody know if she hurt her wrist, and she cried out in pain all night. And that sounds bad, and I know it is bad, but I tried to help her, and she just kept forgetting her wrist was hurt. So she would move, wince in pain, and then lay back down. And I must have saw her do this about 10 times, then I gave up. And I listened to her do the same thing. I was like, if she makes it to the door, then I'll get up and help her to the bathroom. But she couldn't get out of bed. Every time she went to scoot, she hurt her wrist. She laid back down. I mean, literally. I feel bad, but I have to work. I can't stay up like that. And I have these safeguards in place so I can hear certain things. If I hear certain movements or I know that she's on her feet, I get up. I really do. But that was insane. I mean, it was literally like watching a crackhead on the street or some like a mental patient, because it was just like same thing over and over and over again. And it's like, oh, you just forgot. Your wrist hurts, but now your wrist is not going to get better because you won't stop injuring it. And I think this is how people with dementia and Alzheimer's, when they break a bone, this must be how they die, because it won't heal, because they won't stop using it and they won't stop injuring it. And then the pain probably gets to be too much, because I'm still giving her a pain agent, and it just, but if you keep re-injuring it, I think I'm going to try to follow my sister's advice. I don't think she'll keep it on, but I'm going to try to put a ACE bandage, because that might help a little bit more while she's sleeping, but I doubt it that she'll leave it on, but I never know. You never know. Yeah, she just has the hardest time with the bed pads. Like, she just does not want to use them, but it's like, we need them. We need bed pads. So, anyway, that was my night. It was crazy. And it was like, the first few times I was like, okay. And she wasn't using her words, and it's just sad, man. It's really a sad way to die. Because ultimately, that's what we're looking at. There's no quality of life here. We're not going to go out to dinner. We're not going to go to the movies. You know, and you tend to forget about it. But up until a few years ago, my mom loved to go to the movies. And she was always mad at me because I didn't want to go to the movies. And I'm like, you weren't this person when I was in high school. When I was in high school, that's when I really wanted to go to the movies. You never had time, or you weren't interested. You didn't want to eat pizza, but you want to eat pizza now. You didn't want to... What was it? Oh, Taco Bell. I was like, you listen, you're a totally different person. If you had been this person when I was in high school, we would be best friends. But, you know, you wait till I'm in my 40s and 50s to start loving the movies and Taco Bell and pizza. I mean, that stuff's not even food anymore. No thanks, man. And it's like, dude, I'm busy. I'm busy like you were busy, remember? So it's just strange. You spend all these years with people and you forget, like... Oh, they did. They used to like to go to the movies. They used to like to listen to music. They used to like to play Scrabble on the computer. They used to do things. And then you just watch that go away. But I'm so immersed in it, I forget all of how sick she really is and all the stuff she used to be able to do. Not just 2 or 3 years ago. It's a cruel, cruel disease. And every American deserves better. And it's truly disappointing. The minute they put a price tag on healthcare, that was the beginning of the end. Because you got so many people who now, you know, they would rather just figure out how to you know, get the most money from the insurance companies, or, you know, do the kickback from the big pharmaceutical companies, because they're never going to offer you the best care if there's a better deal on the table. And that's sad. They never should have monetized healthcare. If they could have figured out a way for everybody to get equal care, you know, and I know people are like, oh, it's racism. I get it. But this isn't a race issue. And if you're one of those people that only sees things through that lens, you're going to be really frustrated, because this is a thing for all people who don't have, you know, an extra 200 grand a year to spend on high quality care for a loved one. And it shouldn't cost that much. But I also think we should show these places some grace, because we're asking people who don't love your people, they don't know your people, it's their job to clean them up, endure their abuse. And I know they're not making very much money. You know, I'm not making any money taking care of my mom because I love her. Okay? And it feels like that's what I'm supposed to do. These people don't have that obligation. And you know they're not being paid well. If someone is charged with wiping your mom's butt and turning her over to keep her from getting a bed sore, and she makes $14 or $15 an hour, or he, do you think they're going to attract the best talent? No. And what's going to be done to change it? Because they need to probably start them at about 25 to 30 just so you can get highly skilled people. You would attract a much better employee, but then people would be like, well, I can't afford, you know, to put my loved one here. It's just too expensive. And it's already expensive. And I don't understand. I just don't get it. And I've been befuddled by this for the last probably 4 years, because I started in earnest down this journey when I realized my mom was really suffering from something in 2020. And I've been taking care of her for longer than that, much longer than that. But if something didn't become obviously wrong until I was home with her all day during COVID, and I was looking at her behavior, and I was like, oh, something's off. Something's amiss. And then I had to go down this fucking terrible ass rabbit hole. It's not going to get better. Things have got to change dramatically for it to improve. And you know, I don't know what that attempt at universal healthcare was all about, but it shouldn't be that complicated. You know, they're printing money like it's going out of style. Let's just start all over. Cancel all the debt of everything and start all over. Because that's ultimately what's going to have to happen anyway. We're sending just billions of dollars out the country, just print it like it's going out of style. It has like no value. And I wish somebody would explain the dedication to Ukraine. I mean, because it seems like the original story of what we were told is not the actual story. And I'm really tired of that. Moving on to the next topic, which is Puffy. Now, here's what I'm noticing. So Puffy's defense team is obviously working, and they're slandering, you know, this last guy's attorney. They're slandering this last guy, Lil Rod, and they're slandering his characters. And he got. I think the thing I heard yesterday is he was once charged with manslaughter. Well, the way it was titled, I knew it was vehicular. And that just because someone has a charge, if they're found not guilty, that doesn't mean their lawsuit isn't valid. So these are just like PR games. People are trying to slander his attorney. That's fine. His attorney doesn't have to have a great reputation. He hired him. There are a lot of attorneys out here practicing and they don't have a great reputation. You know, that has no bearing on the case. And this is not a criminal case. The feds haven't charged charged their case yet. And that's the one. That's the one you got to really be concerned about if you're Sean Combs or his family. Because when the feds come, it's airtight. And everybody thinks this dude is a narc or has been working for the feds in some way. I don't know. But I have a hard time believing that people are going to find out about sex trafficking and child sex trafficking. You know, it's sort of like you're always cool until you're not, you know. I don't know. If you are an FBI informant, does it sound crazy that the government might change their mind about you and forsake you? I mean, would the government ever do that? So, I don't know. I think the world is playing chess and a lot of people are playing checkers. And then you got these folks out here who are trying to defend Puffy now. And it's like, I don't know. Should someone named WAC 100 be trying to describe, you know, or defend me? All of that feels like PR. Somebody offered him some cash to get on his platform. And he's not somebody I follow, but I've seen his interviews before. And that's fine. You don't have to agree with everything and you don't have to be anti-Puffy, but it just sounded fake to me. It sounded scripted and staged. The reality is that he may or may not have been involved in a lot of nefarious, terrible behavior. And it doesn't matter what his attorney finds about the opposing attorney or the opposing plaintiff. None of that matters. There are unsympathetic victims all the time. There are unsympathetic victims in a case that you're following right now if you follow the news in your city, which I advise that you do. I mean, there are people who aren't good people, but that doesn't make them any less a victim. So a few people I've been following, you know, some of them are starting to cave. And it's like, I can see you are falling for this very obvious campaign to plant doubt. And that's fine. You're entitled to believe what you want to believe. But don't get got. You know what I mean? Like you've been on the case all this time. Now all of a sudden you think this stuff matters. And it doesn't. It does not matter. The only thing that matters, the burden of proof is, I don't even think it's called that in civil court. I mean, you just have to get up there and show that this person was liable for your situation. You know, and that's why a lot of these don't make it to trial, because either the proof isn't there at all and they get thrown out, or there's enough revealed in depots that everybody feels comfortable moving forward because it looks like they're going to win. And so the defense team usually offers a settlement and people settle, which is what I think happened to Christian Keys. Remember him a few months ago? He was crying on the internet. Oh, he was going to expose one of our favorite people for molesting him. And then where'd he go? He sounds bought off. That's what happens. When they think you're going to sue them, they can just throw cash at you and make you sign an NDA, a non-disclosure, and say you can't ever discuss whatever it was. Because I swear that man was crying. And then he just disappeared. And all these people rallied behind him. And then he disappeared. And so I believe that what happened to him happened to him. Most people don't want to admit they have been victimized. That's the psychology of it. Most people don't want to come forward. I tend to believe victims until proven otherwise. You know, because of the shame. Most people don't like admitting, you know, that they got by somebody. Somebody spiked their drink and raped them, or someone, you know, put them in an untenable position for years. Like, come to my house and show me your penis. No, oh, okay. Because there's no rules in the entertainment industry. You're not going to be able to go to the HR department and complain about the director and think you're going to keep getting work, especially if that director is successful. You know, there's several names floating around Hollywood that these guys are horrible. Everybody knew about Harvey. Everybody knew Harvey Weinstein was a jerk. I didn't know he was raping people, but it wasn't a big stretch. The way he would scream and holler at people and berate people, everybody knew that. And I wasn't even in the industry. I was trying to get in the industry and I was like, oh, I am not going to apply there. I'm not going to try to work there. You had just heard story after story. Like if you were an assistant or somebody working in the office, he would just scream at you and berate you. That is petulant and terrifying behavior. Who wants to work under those conditions? There's actually a movie based off of Harvey and his assistant called Swimming with the Sharks, starring, I want to say, Kevin Spacey. Man, time brings about a change. Now, I used to love Kevin Spacey, and then it's like, oh, okay, did you really attack all these boys? One is a child, one was a child actor, and now he's grown up. And then the other people that are accusing Kevin are young, you know, 18 and 19 year old boys, I think. They weren't as young as the first guy that came out, Anthony Rapp, and said something. So, Swimming with the Sharks. Let me see. Anyway, people are defending Puffy now. You can see the campaign in full swing. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change anything. You either did these things or you didn't do these things. And if the feds don't bring charges, then of course you do. We will realize that he all this time was working for the FBI or whoever, the government, because they want to protect him. But I have a feeling that he's not high up enough to protect. He's exposed a lot of people and he knows a lot. And he has some leverage in that capacity, especially if all of his, you know, rooms in his house were bugged. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I definitely think it sounds like trouble's coming the Kardashians' way, because they're really linked in with Puff, and who knew that? And then these people who are like, Puffy would never do that. You cannot defend these people. You don't know these people. You do not know the Kardashians either. They could be perfectly horrible people. You don't know them. Just because you watch them on TV doesn't mean you know them. And I have a feeling you could have been in the same room with some of these people and not known the real version of them. Chess, not checkers. Some of these people are playing like 3D chess, which is a whole nother level. Some shit I saw in Big Bang Theory. So, I don't know. You got to be alert and vigilant and paying attention. There's so much going on, and I feel like they're just trying to distract you from the big things, like how you're not going to be able to afford healthcare for somebody that you love, be it yourself, your partner, your kids, your parents. Somebody you love is going to need help with healthcare, and it won't be able to come from you. I would say stack your coins. In fact, I think there should be some sort of financial product. And if you don't know of one, create one. A bank account where everybody in your family just donates. Because somebody's going to have to use it. And just always have a pool of cash that everybody just puts in directly from their paycheck into this account. And over time, it'll grow. And then when somebody needs a surgery and that bill comes due because the insurance didn't cover it, they can borrow from the fund and then they can pay the fund back. You know, I would create a family fund right now, because if you don't have someone in your family who's great with money, you know, and it looks like being a male is always an advantage. My brother was able to make a great salary for about 30 years. And, you know, men make more money than women. So there's that. There's a chance that your health might suffer financially if you don't have a, you know, stable male who can put money into the coffers, which is bullshit. But I really do honestly think that's how men have decided to make themselves stay relevant. We'll just make more money. And they, 'cause there's no other reason to pay a man more money than a woman. Other than they just want to. That's crazy. We live in crazy times. And they're trying to distract us from the bigger picture, which is you need to protect your spiritual neck and get prayed up and get good with whoever you believe is in charge. And I mean the spiritual people. If you're doing demonic shit, your energy is already being abused. That never ends well. Nothing with the devil or anything demonic has ever ended well. It's almost like people have forgotten history. Sting has a song that says, "History will teach us nothing." And I always say, "History will teach us nothing and everything at the same time." It's a fascinating time to be alive. Enjoy it. Inhale deeply. God is good all the time. I really believe that. And I think good things are coming. I think all this turmoil and upheaval are designed to show us how great we can really, really be. And we don't have to rely on governments or people or no one smarter than you. The president isn't smarter than you. Donald Trump certainly isn't smarter than you. You can be in control of your own life. You know, you can read these stories and articles like it's the end of the world, or you can be like, you know what? I listened to this podcast today and this lady made good sense. I'm going to talk to my brothers, sisters, and cousins. We're going to start a family fund. We're going to start putting money away. Gotta be a lot of money, but a little bit of money here and there, you know, consistently, I'd say monthly, everybody contributes. Sounds like a great idea. I'm going to do that. You can change your life. You know, you don't have to do what everybody says. If somebody runs inside of your house and says, you know, the sky is falling, you can make choices. You can go and look for yourself. You can assume that person's right and go crazy. Or you can be like, okay, get out of my house. Or all of the above. Get out of my house. I'm going to look for myself. But you about to get got. You run in my house again. We have choices. That's my whole point. You get to make choices. Yeah, they'll tell you, oh, we're in a recession. Are we? How do you know? You just send all the money to everybody else. What the fuck is so great about Ukraine that we have to send them billions of dollars? You can say you're trying to fight Putin. I just don't believe it. Because if you wanted to fight Putin, you would just be like, all right. So what's happening? I don't understand that conflict at all. I didn't understand it originally, but of course I was concerned, like, dude, is he just trying to like take over? Is he trying to just like Hitler places, just absorb them without, you know? But now I'm just like, well, I know that's what we were originally told. But when you look at some of the dealings and some of the kinds of businesses that are in Ukraine, I'm not sure what's going on. And, you know, I won't even touch the other conflicts because those predate me by centuries. I don't understand it. I think people are surprised that Palestinian sympathy is as high as it is. I think two things can be true at the same time, but nobody wants to hear it. I think young people right now want to be relevant, and they don't always understand what they're protesting for or about, which is scary and dangerous. I think everybody wants things fast, and we live in a world where things need to be examined and everything shouldn't be fast. You know, I was watching a TikTok where OJ Simpson was telling a story about Chris Kardashian, and you know, it's just, say what you want about him, and you do. The internet is rife with OJ hate, and I get it. But his family loved him. And so the story goes, Kris Jenner was with Bruce, and she begged OJ at some big event to play, you know, have Bruce come along. I met Bruce Jenner and Kris Jenner at the time, and she was very bubbly, outgoing. It's not at all shocking to me that she's kind of an aggressive person and has put her family on. But he was kind of meek and mild, and he looked really, really sad. He looked like a super sad human being. He's very tall. And so you just look at him and it's like, oh, and this is Bruce, and you meet him and he's like, hi. I mean, this dude seemed depressed. So anyway, the story was OJ was like, Kris begged OJ to take this guy to play golf at this big sporting event. and they were out of town. And so he said, but I have the kids. So she said, don't worry, I'll take the kids. Well, then at some point later, she told the story that when they were out of town, OJ had abandoned his kids at the pool so he could go play golf. When his version of events is that she begged him to go play golf with her kind of sullen, weird husband at the time, which I'm not friends with them. I don't know them that well. I know his daughter. I met these people, and I have no doubt that OJ didn't love hanging out with Bruce because he was sullen as a man. He really was. And I could see that happening. But here's what people don't understand. His kids loved him, and he never lost custody of the younger kids. I think the Browns wanted custody of them, but, you know, he's their biological father, and no one ever could say he wasn't a good dad. Make the jokes, say what you want. He was found not guilty. When people get found not guilty, they go back to their lives. So, I don't know. It's just fascinating. And it's like he's telling the story. And you can see in the comments, people are making... And I'm like, say what you want. But his kids loved him, including those two kids. Justin and Sydney loved their dad. Jason and Arnell loved their dad. I see all these theories that Jason killed Nicole. I never felt any kind of tension or weirdness between Jason and Nicole. Like, his older kids loved their dad. And they love their mom, and they're close to both parents, and he married somebody else. Okay. But it wasn't any different than any other family. Like, I read a thing, like, Jason killed her. He got enraged, and he had been in the army, and he knew how to use knives, and he's a chef. And I'm like, yeah, he's a chef. Good chef. I remember eating a lot of good meals that Jason cooked. But I never found him to be an enraged... You know, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't know. I just have observations from knowing Jason and Arnell, and I never saw anything that made me think anything close to that. Now, that doesn't mean it's true. I'm just saying that's what I saw. And I think it's, like, really interesting that people make these leaps. But I guess the only thing I want to say is people don't understand. He loved his kids, and his kids really loved him. And... we don't know all of these people, and we have stories about every single thing, and we don't know them. If you don't know people, you can make all the assumptions that you want. And people aren't all one thing all the time. So you have to give people not grace, especially if you think they are a criminal. But I think we live in a time where we feel like we know everybody, but we don't. I don't know. Even having spent time in his house didn't mean I knew OJ. I don't know him. I didn't know him. I wasn't friends with him. You know, but I have observations. But that's based off of what I saw for myself. And now we live in a society where you think because you watch Love and Hip Hop, you know these people. I've seen you on TV. Well, that doesn't mean anything. They edit that, you know? It's just a weird, we're in weird times. And it's almost like we have too much access to each other. It might be better to go back to the days where shit just moved real slow. You don't get the news till 3 months later. Well, we might as well be that way because the news media covers absolutely nothing. Investigative journalism seems to be DEAD. That's a hot take, but it's true. It's true. Like, mainstream media is bought and sold and paid for. They do not cover anything. Because if they cared about you, they tell you all this shit going on with Alzheimer's and how much we're not ready and ain't nobody gonna help you. I stand on that. All right. Have an amazing day. April is flying by. I cannot believe it. It's already April 25th. Thank God Mercury retrograde is... we're about to stop seeing the effects of that because I'm telling you, I read some birth chart. I was getting ready to get off, but I gotta share this. I was reading some birth chart information of mine yesterday, and it was spot on, baby. I looked up both parents based off the positions and the planets in my house and my birth chart. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. God has a filing system, man. And this stuff, I'm telling you, the last 3 weeks, since April started, my mom has been on, like, her behavior. So there is Mercury retrograde. There was, like, the eclipse. I think, I want to say it was in Aries. And so it turns out my mom, my planet with my mom, the house where that would be, which I think is the fourth house, is in Aries. And when I read that, I was like, oh my God, that is my mom. And that's how she presents to me, like to a T. It was scary. And then when I read my dad's, it was like also to a T, very, very scary. And I'm like, man. But I didn't finish enough of my chart to realize that I am designed for transformation. I am designed to uplift. Now, my programming hasn't been that, but I can change my programming. But my design is flawless. And I'm very grateful for that. Please have an amazing day. Don't waste any time. Take in deep breaths. Get ready. Get set. Go. We're almost done with this month. And May is going to be super. So let's enjoy it. Take care.